This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
With regards to this defund the police, I think that there's a lot of, there's an intentional amount of misrepresentation. I think that whenever we take on these efforts, especially being a Black person and just like speaking from my own political education, these kinds of things, these kinds of movements are meant to center love and a love of community and a deep care for those most vulnerable amongst us. I think that if this is a phrase that scares you, if this is an idea that frightens you, I really need for you to understand the context and the historical roots of policing in Canada and the ways in which policing is completely incompatible with honoring and doing justice for Black and Indigenous folks in this country. It's just not. The history of policing in Canada is founded on slave patrols. It's founded on corralling Indigenous folks. And if we're looking to move in a place where we're actually building that quote unquote inclusive society, we need to start taking a look at those elements of white supremacy that are present within our everyday lives.
That's Lily Obang, the Racial Equity and Education Project Coordinator at the Urban Alliance on Race Relations. The Urban Alliance was formed in 1975 by a group of concerned Toronto citizens, and today they are a nonprofit charitable organization that works primarily and proactively with the community, the public, and private sectors to provide educational programs and research, which are critical in addressing racism in society. If you've noticed the new Police Are Not the Answer billboards on the Gardner Expressway, that's also the work of the Urban Alliance on Race Relations. Lily tells me a little bit about what the Urban Alliance is about, and we get into their latest campaign and the calls to defund the police and reinvest in community.
I think necessarily work to sort of divert resources from the police has existed under our banner, just because when you're working with racialized communities, when you're working with the realities of anti-Indigenous and anti-Black racism, you can't necessarily separate that history of over-policing and under-representation in those areas. So I think in various ways, we've had campaigns that have tried to address certain aspects of it. But to my knowledge, this is the first time that we're actually really taking on this more bold mantle and saying that we actually need to be pressing our city councilors, be pressing our municipal representatives to actually divert funds away in a substantial way from police services if we're actually to sort of address the underlying issues of systemic racism that exist in our society.
While the billboards may be the most visible part of the campaign, there are other elements as well, like a survey on the community's views and opinions of the police.
I think a large part of our work is always community consultation. So regardless of how you interact with us, there's always going to be some sort of a survey. There's always going to be some sort of thing where you can directly provide us with your feedback, because that directly tells us how we as an organization should be orienting ourselves in the kinds of language that we should be using to sort of discuss these things. So that input from community is very pivotal and should be something that's a part of most folks' community work.
Along with the billboards and the survey, community members can also sign their petition, which will keep them tapped into everything that's happening at the Urban Alliance.
Again, we really do want to engage people in a longer standing process. We recently just hired a volunteer coordinator who's actually going to be taking on doing a lot of that organization virtually via Zoom and seeing the ways in which we can kind of consolidate all of our different advocacy efforts. So I think that if you are interested in being a part of it and like continuing to work with us and continuing to see the ways in which you can contribute to this movement more concretely, I would strongly suggest signing up.
The Urban Alliance billboards touch on specific situations. They all say police are not the answer, but the end of the sentence varies. There's police are not the answer to a mental health crisis, police are not the answer to poverty, and police are not the answer to school safety. Lily says the team at Urban Alliance chose specific scenarios that are of relevance to Torontonians, conversations that are already happening.
When we met as a staff team and kind of as a board to kind of put together what the posters would actually look like, we really wanted to use recent instances of police brutality, police violence, to sort of craft the slogans and to sort of divert people to where we can actually see there would have been a tangible effect here if we had a different alternative. So speaking specifically to the school one, my project is focused on education. So unfortunately, I know of multiple cases wherein not only just talking about school resource officers who are increasingly being pulled out of schools, but just police being called into discipline, specifically Black and Indigenous students. So there's a case actually out of Peel, which happened earlier this year, where a four-year-old was handcuffed and like detained within the school. What possible reason is there to detain a child in a school set? There just isn't one. There needs to be something else that's there. There needs to be an alternative that's there. There can't not continue to be this justification, because it fundamentally others and isolates children.
The Mental Health Crisis Billboard speaks to the summer of protests calling for justice for Regis Korchinski Paquette, Ijaz Chowdhury, and DeAndre Campbell. And the final billboard, Poverty, is an especially hot topic right now as there are ongoing protests to defund the police in Hamilton.
To just give nods to organizers organizing right now out of Hamilton, policing is not the response to homelessness either. You can see folks with defund Hamilton Police Services right now. They were camped outside of their city hall calling for very similar things to what our campaign is calling for. So solidarity to all the Black racialized Muslim youth that are doing that work right now out of Hamilton. And naming that oftentimes cities' responses is to revert to these bylaws and these practices that result in what is essentially social death. And that's in the context of, and that's in a regular context. And now we're actually adding on that additional layer of the pandemic.
Lily tells me that the messaging as well as the timing were intentional. Their recently launched Police Are Not the Answer campaign is aligned with municipal budget meetings.
Specifically, I think it's because at this point, we actually have the capacity to influence or tip a decision in favor one way or the other. Specifically in Toronto, the opportunity to discuss reducing the police budget by 10% came up earlier, and that failed. And then instead, they decided to give them more money for body cameras. And so I think this is the opportunity to really start to dispel a lot of the common myths and misunderstandings with regards to this whole term, defund the police.
We also talk about the fact that defunding is just the beginning of changing the system. It's also about reallocating money to other services that can adequately support the community. Lily mentions that anti-Black racism is not exclusive to policing, so we have to consider these factors so we aren't funding other forms of harm. She uses the education system as an example.
And this was also a concern that kind of came up with the removal of police from schools. Just because we've removed the security guards doesn't necessarily mean that we've removed surveillance practices. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've stopped sharing sensitive information with police officers who will use that information to further criminalize students and racialize students.
And she tells me where she hopes that the diverted money will go.
I'm going to throw this concept at your audience and see how much they jive with it. But I've definitely personally been inspired by abolitionist politics and kind of like what a future without policing in this way looks like. And I think that there are lots of initiatives that are sort of springing up that demonstrate the ways in which we can sort of create our own community-based solutions to these problems. So one thing that's arisen in the midst of the pandemic that I think is a great example of the kind of community-based initiatives we should be supporting are things like mutual aid efforts, people coming together in their communities to make sure that we provide each other with the kinds of things that we need. I think that the city has the capacity to really come in and support a lot of these people doing this work and formalize those efforts. We can start to combat a lot of these issues if we actually imbue the folks who are doing the work right now with the necessary resources. They already have the reach, they already have the connections. What's missing is sufficient funding. What's missing is sufficient support from those places that state to have a commitment to these things.
To learn more about the Urban Alliance on Race Relations, including their billboards on the Gardener, the accompanying survey and petition, visit notpolice.ca.
So I would say to those of you who are on the fence, I please, please encourage you to learn more. I encourage you to learn about the ways in which reforms actually end up adding to police budgets. I very briefly mentioned how instead of defunding the police or reducing the police budget by 10%, they instead got body cameras. Body cameras and those kinds of equipment require funds and end up putting more money in their pockets. So now we just have video of all of the different incidences, and we still don't have a better system for police oversight that is attached to that. So videos, still no actual changes in the results that we're seeing. So I just really want to stress that to anyone that considers themselves an ally to these communities, anybody who really wants to consider themselves progressive and wants to move in that direction, to really address and to really sit with that discomfort and see what it, and see and commit yourself genuinely to unlearning that kind of fear so we can move forward in earnest.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.